Hi, it's Chris Titley here as part of the Sub 11 Uncovered podcast series. I'm joined by Ewan Hollingsworth. Founder, is that right, Ewan, or co-founder, or are you flying by yourself?
No, co-founder.
Co-founder.
Myself and he's currently in the other room.
But there you go. Yeah. Of Spark Finance. Well, there you go, yeah. Spark Finance. So Spark, I followed Spark now for probably 18 months or so and your progress, but a lot of people out there might not know the Spark Finance story. Do you want to go back and give the listeners a bit of an understanding on why you built the business and back to the early days and how it all began?
Yeah, no, thanks. And thanks, Chris, for having me. Really, really appreciate the time, the ability to chat to you. But yeah, so Spark Finance kind of started out of my own experience. Basically, Spark is we're an alternative lender, a fintech that provides tuition financing for international students, university students. But it came out of my own experience studying overseas. I was lucky enough to study in the UK. I was a lawyer and wanted to kind of shift gears. So I did my MBA in the UK and to kind of going to consulting. I got accepted into an MBA course over there. Was really fortunate and grateful for that opportunity. But I realized that it's quite an expensive degree to study overseas. I was lucky enough to cobble together some funds from myself. My mum and dad chipped in, my previous work as well. I also got a bit of a bursary, but it still wasn't enough. So was researching and I realized there's, a couple of other companies out there that, provide tuition loans for international students, which I found surprising given that, this is a UK company that is, providing, unsecured credit to an Australian citizen and I could just, come back here. But anyways, was lucky enough for them to kind of bridge the financing needed for my study. Went overseas, studied, had a great time, wonderful experience. Managed to get my dream job back here. But when I came back, I started reflecting about that and realized that, without them, I wouldn't have had that life-changing opportunity. And the more I dug into it, the more I realized that, there's a lot of people coming to Australia for international education, as I'm sure we're all aware of, that, want to study here, want to move here, want to live here, because it is a great country with really strong academic institutions. But we don't have anything like that. We don't provide financing for our international students. So that means that we're losing a lot of international students that really have the capability to achieve academically here, but also in a professional setting as well. So that's kind of where the genesis of Spark came about, and we want to help those people with their Australian study dreams. And it sounds corny, but, democratise education.
No, I don't think that sounds corny. It actually sounds very logical and a gap that's pressing. I'm curious to know about your MBA journey. Broadly speaking, in dollar terms, I assume it's gone up, but, what sort of dollar brackets are we talking about doing an MBA overseas these days?
Yeah, it's expensive. So I think mine, off the top of my head, all in, so living costs as well over 100
wow.
grand.
Okay, right.
And so I think what they're saying now is, and that was a one-year course, and I think, most MBAs in the US are two-year courses, 100 grand each year, so 200 grand to study overseas. Now, the ROI on that, is probably there, but not many, 20-something, 30-somethings have a spare $100,000 lying around.
Mm.
And what we realized is that, these people, whilst they might be cash, poor, they've got really bright futures ahead of them, some of these people. So, an Indian student coming to do their MBA at Melbourne Business School, say, would really have a bright future ahead of them, maybe moving to consulting, into finance here in Australia. But they don't really have, the 100K that's necessary to finance that degree. So what we do is we kind of look at their future employment prospects, and that's what really distinguishes us from other lenders, whereas other lenders kind of just look at, as they should, someone's past credit history, their kind of present financial condition. No one takes the time to look at a student and say, well, look at what they're doing. They're doing their MBA or they're doing their Masters of Law. Why are they doing that? What's their employment prospects look like? Are they going to be able to repay that? We look at that in our underwriting criteria, and it enables us to lend to people that other lenders haven't been able to.
And then the genesis of Spark, the idea about getting that initial business idea off the ground, you obviously think, well, I need to find 100 grand or 500 grand to actually advance these students for their tuition. Obviously need to go and find either a lender or some debt, et cetera. How did that go about early on? And from that initial idea, can you give us a bit of an update on how the business has been progressing the last couple of years?
Yeah, I think it's interesting, right? Because I was chatting to a colleague about it yesterday. He's working on the debt side of things. And really, we kind of have two customers. We have obviously the students, but we're also, and it's been a journey on this front, it's like finding the investors as well. Student lending isn't really something that's typically done here in Australia because we've got such a great government student lending system in HECS. So when you tell people, look, we're building a student lending business, they're like, well, why do you need that? So that's actually been more of the challenge with this, is getting people on board with that. And we've been lucky that enough that we've been able to kind of tap our networks to an extent to build up a small proof of concept. So we went live in 2021. Well, we actually launched a business in 2020, which had its challenges given COVID. Yes, and so not many students are coming.
Well, if you can launch then, you can launch any time in the world, obviously.
Well, yeah. I mean, and it did force us to look at another bucket of students being Aussies and Kiwis going overseas as well. So we also, COVID, and the silver lining of that was that it opened up a new market for us Aussies and Kiwis going overseas. I mean, finding the debt, the investors willing to kind of invest in these students was a process, but we got enough investors on board to build up a small loan book and to kind of prove that these people are a good asset. They're starting to repay. We have no defaults or arrears on the book whatsoever. These people are good assets, and they're kind of, the thesis is proving out that they're high caliber people that just don't have capital at this stage. So it's this kind of this unique market failure that we think we're uniquely positioned to solve.
And Ewan, once someone becomes accepted after your due diligence, again, taking into all the considerations that you do for due diligence, which might be different to other unsecured lenders, how long do they have, broadly speaking, to pay it back? Or is it sort of progressive over the career, a bit like the old HECS?
No, a little bit different to HECS. So we... once they've been approved, we pay the fees directly to the university on their behalf. So the student never sees the funds. But typical loan terms are between 3 to 10 years. On average, it's 5 years. So a little bit shorter, though, obviously, than HECS. And it's not kind of tied to income or pre-tax arrangements or anything like that. We have no penalties for early repayments on our loans either. And the challenge that we've seen is kind of, again, proving the thesis out, is that people are repaying early too quickly for our liking. They are getting these great jobs, whether it be in London, New York, back here in Australia, again in law firms, consulting firms, as doctors, and they're getting, you know, great salaries, great sign-on bonuses, and they're paying down chunks of these loans because, again, it's this education that they're receiving is really helping them accelerate their career, and that allows them to pay back these loans. So hence, that's why we've got no defaults and arrears on the book.
I'm interested to know, you talked about the customers that you've got in your business. What about the actual education providers like the universities, et cetera? How are they receiving your product, and are they getting on board and helping you somewhat in terms of directing some of their potential students towards you?
Yeah, no, I think that's a great point, Chris. And you're right. So I think I touched on it earlier, is that previously, well, currently in Australia, we really kind of only get the students that can afford to come here. And it still is quite an expensive, not as expensive as the US or the UK. It's still quite as expensive in Australia. So we only get really those students that can afford to study here, not that those are the best and the brightest. And we've had discussions with a couple of, you know, Sydney universities who have said that they've had to turn away people, great caliber people who have got scholarships, but can't afford the balance of the study here. So it's quite a shame. So when we tell universities about what we're offering, they're quite pleased, because what we help them do is we help them grow their pie and kind of diversify their pie as well. So we get more talented students from a more diverse network of countries. So they definitely see the benefits of us. Studies have shown that universities that provide financing options outside of, you know, scholarships and bursaries see a 43% increase in application flows because of that. So the proof is in the pudding. We've started to partner with universities here and abroad, and that means that their marketing and recruitment and admissions team know about us. So if a university student or admitted student comes to them and says, look, I've got in, but I don't have the financing, they'll direct them to us, which is great, obviously, because it's a very warm lead from our end, and they've done half the work in vetting the student.
And in terms of the mix of sort of undergraduate versus postgraduate, can you talk about that and where there's a bit of a sweet spot for you?
Yeah, so primarily we're looking at postgraduate courses. It kind of goes back to the thesis that we have that, you know, this is education that's going to accelerate someone's career. So we do look at those more, for lack of a better word, vocational degrees. So like think of an MBA, Master of Law, Master of Engineering, Public Policy, IT, stuff like that, that has good employment outcomes. On the whole, most of our book is postgraduate. We're actually exploring moving into undergraduate degrees as well as we kind of get better at what we're doing. And also we've built out, which we think is really exciting, a co-signer product as well. Because as we've been doing this over the past 2 years, what we've realized is that there's a lot of international students coming here that actually have familial links with Australia. So a family member or their partner might be an Australian citizen. So they might not fit specifically into our, select list of courses, but, you know, they've got an uncle or a partner here as an Australian citizen, and they co-signed a loan to them, which helps them study the course that they want to do, and also, you know, helps us, you know, not get excessive risk on our book.
And in regards to the awareness of your product and your business, how have you gone about that in sort of getting your name out there into saying, hey, this product exists? It's probably something that's unfamiliar to most people as an option, but hey, we're out here doing our thing.
Yeah, good question. I think it's a challenge for all, you know, small businesses, right, is getting your name out there. I think universities have been really beneficial for us because, again, we're helping them with a problem that they have. So universities have been our main channel. We've also been speaking with professional services firms as well, because they've got their young employees who are looking to study overseas, and we can help them with their finance those. But really it's just kind of other things. So, you know, talking with industry rags, you know, in the education and finance sector, a lot of Google ads as well, and also hitting universities as well, university clubs, like student clubs as well. So, you know,
graduate, they go, oh, I was thinking about doing this, but it's too expensive. And someone goes, hold on, hang on, so have you seen this product, you know? And then,
exactly. So it's, you know, your law student society or your business student society, and they might not be looking to study overseas immediately, but, you know, they're like, it piques an interest. Absolutely.
You and I ask this to all my guests in this podcast as sort of one piece of advice that you continue to, I suppose, live by on a day-to-day basis, or something that sort of changed the pivot of your business from either someone inspirational or something that you live by. I'd be keen to understand and get the listeners to sort of share the wisdom, I suppose, as a co-founder of a thriving startup.
I'm not sure if thriving is the right word, but I think, yeah, it's a good question. I think one of our advisors in the midst of COVID, we were having doubts. I mean, I think we always still have doubts, you know, in challenges, but he was like, you just got to grind it out. You know, I suppose the advice he gave was, this too shall pass. Like it's a bit of a slog, you know, starting your own business and there are a lot of challenges, and you think that you know, some of these challenges might not end, but they do, and there's definitely a light at the end of the tunnel. So I think it's just, you know, the advice is keep at it. I mean, for us, it's been a bit of a slog because of COVID that, you know, really, you know, limited the business in the early days, but you keep at it, and if you can keep going, then that's half the battle.
And in regards to the potential sub-11 community out there that listens and follows on the web, is there a particular ask out there, or is there something that you'd like to sort of say to help you along that journey? Because it is pretty tough sometimes.
Oh, look, I mean, no specific ask. I think, you know, obviously it's always nice to get the name out there. So it would be good to just, you know, if you know of any students who want to study overseas, or you know any universities that need assistance, you know, recruiting international students, you know, please feel free to let them know about Spark.
Best way. It's the only way. I think continuing to say that what you do is how it works and the process, etc. And it'll just, you never know what happens at the end of the day. One person might listen and changes the course of your business.
Yeah, well, fingers crossed. Yeah, so fingers crossed. Yeah,
thank you for coming on the Sub-11 Uncovered, and congratulations what you've achieved with Spark Finance thus far. It has been a bit of a roller coaster, as you said. You launched in probably the toughest time in the history of me being alive, anyway. and well, I wish you all the best, and happy to help where I can.
Thanks, Chris. Appreciate it.